Hello and welcome to the third episode of Shankita's Place. I am your host, Shankita, and today I want to talk about natural hair. Natural hair, that is the topic of today's podcast. It's brought to you by Shankita. Yay, and all things Shankita. Yeah, Shankita's love, Shankita's place, Shankita's world. Shankita store, and just started today my new website, Crusader of All Things Natural. But I'll give you the story on that in a little bit later. But I just want to discuss natural, for the Black community, the African community, African American community, the descendants of Africans community, Black community, whatever way is used to describe us. Natural hair is becoming, like, to me, it's like a phenomenon. It's like everywhere I go, everywhere I look, everywhere I be, I see a Black woman with her natural hair. And it's the most beautiful thing. I love it. Every time I see a woman with a natural hair, with an afro puff, it just makes me do a double take, a triple take. It makes me feel so proud as a Black woman. Like, yes. For so many years, because in the United States of America in particular, and I know this does happen in other countries, but here, as my experience, there is this ideal of beauty that totally X's out Black women in most of our natural state, including our hair, but not limited to our hair, but in particular, our hair is ruled or looked at as not beautiful, is not wonderful, is not whatever the mainstream standard of the American standard of the ideal of beauty. We were not a part of that conversation because of our natural hair. Now, some of us, I mean, not all of us, but some of us. And a way for Black people to rectify that, they began to straighten their hair with a pressing comb or hot comb, they call it. Put a comb on a stove that's made out of metal. Put it into a Black woman's hair that may be, quote, kinky, quote, coily, quote, nappy, which is a word that I don't particularly love. Quote, tangled, thick, coarse. And then, you know, voila, now it's straight and fine and, quote, beautiful. It went on from the straightening comb or hot comb to straighten a Black woman's hair to give her a artificial look that's similar to a white woman or in other races, as well as Hispanic and Asian, however particularly white. There became the chemical, the lye chemical, which was a lie that they was told, but the lye chemical to straighten the hair semi-permanently. So with the straightening comb, you have to pretty much do it every day, you know, to keep it straight. If not, any type of moisture will cause the hair to go back to its most beautiful natural state. Anywho, the relaxer would permanently straighten or perm would permanently straighten that portion of the hair until the hair grows in new, in which when the new hair grows in, then it's time to put chemical on that part of the hair to keep that hair straight, to create the illusion of fine hair or straight hair, to try to live up to this unrealistic ideal of beauty that was pressed upon us after the so-called slavery was lifted from upon us. But I digress. So it has always been a struggle in our community. You know, a lot of Black people did rebel with what they call, quote, dreadlocks, which are now referred to just as locks. You know, some afros, but a lot of people just conformed to it or were like braids, you know, what they call box braids now, which were just braids, you know, once upon a time. But anywho, I had always struggled with that my entire life, especially when I became a teenager, maybe about 14 and 15. I was, you know, considered to be, quote, woke. So I was, you know, quote, woke at a young age, you know, 15, 16, and I started feeling like I don't want to put a perm in my hair. I don't want to relax my hair. Like, why can't I just wear my hair natural? I would be like watching the movies and see their afros and they afros look so beautiful. Like, why? I can't wear my hair like that. Like, why do I have to have a perm? Like, I'm tired of perming my hair every 6 weeks. It's ridiculous. And, you know, women in my family would really fight against that and say that was stupid and that was dumb. And I would threaten to cut my hair. As a matter of fact, I would cut my hair. I would just cut my hair off. I would just go in the bathroom, just cut all my hair off. And then it'll grow back and I'd cut it off again. I just was just rebelling because my hair, I have such a beautiful grade of hair and it's just so thick. And when I would relax it, it would just be so beautiful and so thick. And I just imagined what it would look like if it wasn't relaxed. How beautiful and thick would it be then? So, you know, I would be threatened. If you cut your hair, I'm going to make you wear a wig and blah, blah, blah. And, are you going to be ugly? You're going to look like a man. You're going to look like a lesbian. You know, it was just so much negativity around it and so much discouragement. And I met this one girl. It was my cousin Chuck's friend, and she had natural hair, and her hair was so pretty, and she would have twists, and she would wear little hair wraps. And one day I just pulled her to the side, you know, I was about 18 years old at the time, and I pulled her to the side and I said, how do you get your hair like that? Like, what do you do? And she was like, girl, you just have to stop putting a relaxer in it. And I'm like, but if I stop putting a relaxer in it, is it going to be nappy? Like, she's like, no, the relaxer is what's making it look nappy because it's being connected to the relaxed hair. If you just let the relaxer grow out and let all your hair be natural, then it won't be nappy. It'll look exactly like mine. Like, do my hair look nappy too? I said, no, it's so pretty. And it was so pretty and soft. And she didn't smell so good. And I was just, it was long. And I was just like, I want my hair like that. And she's like, look. And that was, I was 18. And it took till I was 25. I think the first time that I had just cut all my hair off. I had micro braids. I was frustrated. I couldn't take them down. I had nobody to help me. I got tired and I just cut them out from the root. I cut them all out from the root. I went to pick up my sister from work. I had her car and I pulled my hat off. And she was like, oh my God, I just cut all my hair off. But I didn't wear it. I went to the shop and let my cousin line it up and cut it up. But I didn't wear it. I went and got a quick weave. I wore a quick weave for a while and some wigs. And I let it grow back. And eventually I got a perm again. Then the second time I started transitioning. So I didn't cut it off, but I just let it grow on top of the perm, you know, connected to the perm. I did that. And then 2010, New Year's, a few weeks after New Year's, I cut off the relaxed hair and I had a little baby fro. And I just started wearing it. And I was like, you know, I don't care, you know, who don't like it, who do like it, what they say. And to my surprise, everybody loved it. Everybody embraced it. Everybody. I never had any negative thing. Everybody was like, oh, it look good. You look good. It look cute on you. It fits you. You know, that's all I was hearing is it fits you. You know, that stands out in my mind now. It fits you. It fits you. What does that mean? It fits you. How could the way that my hair naturally grows not fit me? I was created in his image. I was created in a perfect image. He designed me. He crafted me. He crafted my hair. He crafted the texture of my hair. He crafted the texture of my hair, the color of my hair, the style of my hair, the way that my hair grows, why it grows, how it grows. Everything about it is created perfectly. So why would people make comments to me saying, oh, it fits you? To me, it would say that there is a possibility that it could not fit you. And that is the absurdity that I had to deal with today. I was online, strolling on my social media, and I come across this post that says, what did it say? The natural look is not for everyone. And I'm like, oh, what? I'm clutching my pearls. And so I was finna go in because this particular person had made another comment about black people hair. And I didn't like it. And I just went in. And of course, he backed out of there real quick and asked his supporters as he came up with different logics and scenarios to justify what he was saying and to not implicate what he was saying. But I knew what it was, but I'm like, okay, yeah, you got out of that one, so here he go again. And let me pull it up because I want to be accurate
when I say what he said, because it was very interesting. So this is the segment that's called Reading Shankeeter's Social Media. So we're going to read some of my social media, then let's talk about it. You know, let's discuss. So it says, in case no one told you, the natural look ain't for everybody. Then it's the emoji with the eyes rolling. So I said, what do you mean? Question mark. Natural what? Question mark. He said, I ain't even gonna explain it because you feel like you are the crusader of all things natural, quote. So whatever I say, you're gonna wanna argue. Dot, 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 dot. Peace sign. I hit the ha-ha emoji and responded, crusader of all things natural. That is so fucking dope. I could have never thought of that. Thank you, because I'm going to be putting that on a shirt. And it will be my new name. I appreciate you, King. Then he gives me a gift with a salute, sarcastic salute. And then I give him a gift with the Rihanna winking, pointing her finger on the Ellen DeGeneres show and laughing. And one of his followers says, laughing my ass off at Crusader. Dead face, laughing face. What the hell? And I said, I don't exactly know what it means yet. LOL. I gotta look it up. Sounds dope. She said, I like it actually. Got my attention. LOL. And I said, mine's too. I was like, oh shit. I done came up on a whole nother alter ego. I'm totally with it too. I'm about to make some skits and all that type of shit. And then I proceeded to go online and get the proper definition of crusader, in which it states someone who makes a determined effort to achieve or stop something because of their strong belief. Bam, that is me all day, every day. And he said, wait a minute, let me hurry up and go get them copyrights. And I said, too late. Got my people typing it up. You got a beautiful mind. You better use it because I have stolen this one. And then she said, I love the ambition. Took it and ran off. And he got the gift with a white boy crossing his hands on his heart. And I said, yep, I'm currently looking at logos and websites. Then I went and bought the motherfucking domain, crusadersofallthingsnatural.com. Posted that and he gave me a thumbs up. So then I went on my site, on my social media, and I had a few things to say because I was a little annoyed today. This was the first thing that I posted. 90% of the posts on my timeline make me fucking cringe. I just roll my eyes and I am about to clean house. I don't want to watch the news. So all the people that post horrible shit, that post the most horrible shit ever that is from the news, will be deleted. People that post memes every 30 seconds without ever having any independent, intelligent thoughts are gone. Tax refund posting as, hating as, mad because you ain't get none as, niggas, bye. Self-hating posts. People that post for reactions. Lurkers who never like or comment. Bye. Get the fuck on. I am totally on one today. That post was inspired by that particular individual with the self-hate, because to me that is self-hate. When a black person is pointing out something negative about a black person that naturally occurs with that black person, be it their skin color, be it their hair texture, be it their name, be it the way that they naturally are, the way they were naturally born, to me that is self-hate. And I do understand it totally and completely, because we were taught not to love ourselves. We were taught to hate ourselves. We were taught that we are ugly. We were taught that we were stupid. We were not allowed to read. We were not allowed to learn. We were considered 3/5 of a man. We were considered property. We were not considered human beings. And that has been passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. And it is a difficult thing often for us to overcome. It is something that I struggle with. It's something that I fight against. So I definitely understand it. However, I don't agree with it. However, I don't approve of it. However, I'm not going to just sit back and not say something. I have to say something. So I said something. Then I went on to say, when a black man continues to post self-hate comments, memes, statuses, believe him and show him some love, because clearly he has had enough hate sent his way and he may have started to believe it. Heart emoji, emoji with the heart eyes, and the sad face, sarcastic laughing emoji. It's all love here. I love all my people. We are kings and queens. Hashtag self-love only. Then I went on to say, you will now refer to me as crusader of all things natural, quotations. And for the record, all women look great with their hair exactly how it naturally grows out of their head, especially black women. I have never heard any other race say some dumbass shit like, the natural look is not for everyone. WTF? What the fuck? Only us, though. I still love y'all, though. Sarcastic, sad face, emoji face with the heart eyes. But please shut the fuck up forever on that particular topic. Hashtag please and thank you. And I hope he read it. I'm sure he did. And to whomever else, because it's just like, stop. You know, just don't. You know, just act like you did, but don't really. You know, because it's hurtful and it's rude and it's mean and it's dumb. And I don't see other races. I never saw a white person say anything about another white person's hair that's negative. Call them something negative about their hair. Like, never. I never seen a white person tell another white person, you know, your hair, the way your hair naturally grows, that look, it's not working for you. Like, go get a black person's hair, sew it into your head, and now you popping, bitch. Like, no, 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 no. Only us, only us, only us. And I understand why. I understand that we're tall, that we're not beautiful unless our hair looks like that. But I thank God for the people who know that is a lie, who know that is not the truth, who know that the way that their hair naturally grows out of their head is beautiful. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. It's working for them. It looks good on them, men and women, because I know men struggle with that too, when their hair is not cut a particular way, or they let it grow out in their nappy head, beady head. I know, I hate it. It hurts me, but I know that they go through that, and I understand why they go through it, and I understand that it's not right, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to say something, and I don't care if I'm called a crusader of all things natural, because I'm going to trademark that shit, and I'm going to make sure that you know that I am that. And I'm going to represent that. And I have no problem with that. So, moral of that story is, don't ever try to come for me unless I send for you, because I'm going to show you what it do when you try to do what you're trying to do. You heard me. Message. So anyway, we're going to move on to the next segment, and I want to take this time to just have an inspirational moment. I think that the only way to combat hate is with love. So I'm not mad, you know, and all that and whatever. So I just want to take the time to have a inspirational moment. I want to just talk about something that inspired me this week. It has been so much. But one particular person I just want to acknowledge that really like inspired me today in particular was Tony Rock. Like, yes, Tony Rock. Like, I mean, I always thought he was cool, you know. I was like, Chris Rock brother, you know, he cool, he funny, you know what I'm saying, all that. But he said some shit today that I was like, okay, yes. I mean, woke. He said he was woke, nigga. You is all the way. You ain't never been to sleep a day in your life, my nigga. He said, which I thought was so beautiful, he talked about a movement. And he talked about black people and how we aren't ready for a movement yet. And he gave a particular example of what a movement would look like and what it would take to have a successful movement and really affect change. And I had to sit back and think about, damn, he ain't right. You know, he talked about the boycotts that started with Rosa Parks, of course, Martin Luther King. It really propelled him into the spotlight, but he was the one that assisted her in making that happen. And he said, you know, the boycott would not have worked if it was black people still taking the bus. The only way the boycott was able to work and be successful and affect change because every black person made the decision not to take the bus. They're going to walk, they're going to carpool, they're going to do what they have to do, but they're not going to take the bus. So what he said was that we have to do that now if we want to affect change. And it seems like we're not ready to do that because we're comfortable with our things. He said that black people make the least amount of money, but we spend the most amount of money. That is the craziest shit that I ever heard in my life. Yet it is true, and it is true about us. And I said, wow, damn, shit, fuck, that's just like, he hit me in my head with that. He came for my neck with that. He came for my life with that. Because I'm like, damn, do we? We do. We do. And he said, when a black, you know, unarmed black man gets shot by the police, that we should take a stance and we should boycott something or some corporation that is powerful enough for them to then go and create, cause whatever legislation, whatever we need to happen for us to be satisfied, for us then to go back and patronize that particular company. He spoke about Nike. You know, he said, well, black people just need to not buy from Nike for a year, or McDonald's, not the gold McDonald's. If every black person didn't, you buy Nike or go to McDonald's, you know, for a year, you know, what would that account look like? What would that stock look like? We can really control some stocks if we want to just not fuck with the stock for a whole year and watch that shit plummet to $5 and then go buy all that shit and just start buying. I mean, we could really do some damage, you know, in that arena, you know, if that's what we want to do. I don't know what that's called. I hope it's not like illegal. I'm just kidding, you know, to whomever is listening that might be with the part of the law. But well, he just made such a valid point that we're just not ready because we're all not in on something. When one person wants to say, okay, let's do this, then it's gonna be, and unfortunately, in the past, hopefully in the future that would change, but in the past, there's been people that say, oh, no, I'm not doing that at all. I'm not doing it. No, the thing with H&M, black people still going to H&M after they got little black boys wearing shirts talking about he is the king of the jungle, the king of the monkeys, the, you know, the best monkey in the jungle, whatever the stupid ass hoodie was, black people still shopping there. Same thing happened with the Shea Moisture. They had that punk ass commercial. We still buying the shit. Same thing with Dove. Bitches still got Dove. It's like, we haven't had the opportunities to come together yet and say, no, fuck that, we're not doing that, and everybody just get on board. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm riding with my people. My people say we ain't fucking with H&M, we ain't fucking with H&M, period. Like, we have never made that stance as a people. As a people, it's like one or two, two or three. It's not just all of us just saying, fuck it, I don't care if I disagree, I don't agree, this is my people, and I'm fuck with them, I'm riding with them, fuck it. H&M got some cold ass shit, but I can't fuck with H&M. Dove is some good ass soap, but I'm not fucking with them. Shea Moisture, they fucked up. Fuck Shea Moisture, they kiss my ass, I'm not buying that bullshit. Like, we haven't done that yet, and since they see the inconsistency, they're not afraid of losing our money because they know we're going to buy their shit and stay broke. And make them rich. That was supposed to be our inspirational moment. I don't know if you inspired or not, but I'm just saying I was inspired by Tony Rock. The way that it's just like utterly ridiculous. But it's the life that we live. So what we gonna do? We just gonna have to live it and get with it. So that was inspirational moment. I hope you were inspired by that. I was, you know, you may have not been inspired by my version, but just understand the concept. And it was inspiring for me to hear that from that man. Very, 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 very inspiring. So last but not least, I want to leave you with a loving moment. And this loving moment is brought to you by myself and my family. For me, when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling bad, when I'm feeling frustrated, it helps when I think about a time that I felt loved, or I think about the times when I felt loved. There are times that I can remember just feeling just the most loved ever. Like, if I would have died at that moment, I would have been perfectly fine with it because everything was perfectly great and I knew for sure that I was loved. These are moments that for me are always with someone that I know who loves me, like my children, like my family. And when I want to smile, I think about when I'm sitting on the couch watching a movie, and I look to the left and I got my daughter, and I look to the right and I got my son, and I got my arms around both of them, and we have covers on us, and we're warm and we're snuggling, and it's a good movie, it's funny, we're laughing, or it's a sad part and we all saying, oh, we all being empathetic with the character, we're all giving our commentary on the movie, or the movie's going off and we're saying how good it was. My loving moment is when I have my children in my arms and I know that who I am is sufficient. Who I am is good enough for them, that they love me, they accept me, I'm their mom, and I don't have to do anything, I don't have to be anything, I don't have to give them anything, I don't have to live up to anything. Just be there with them in that moment, and I feel so loved when my son hugs me, I feel love when my daughter hugs me, I feel love when I blow them kisses and they blow the kisses back, when they catch the kiss. It just makes my world go round and round and round, and I'm just happy. So that's a loving moment for me. I want to share that with you. Take this time to think about your loving moments. Keep those loving moments in mind when you're not feeling loved. Go to that loving moment. Just go to it. Immediately, you're going to smile. I do it all the time when I'm frustrated, when I'm angry, and I just hit that loving moment button in my mind, and the smile just comes, and the feeling, my feeling just changed. My chemistry just changed. My energy immediately changes, and I love that. And I love, what I don't love is when I don't remember to do that, but I love when I do remember to do that, because it takes me to a happy place, and that's where I want to be. That's where I want to remain, in a happy place where everything flows, when everything is beautiful, when everything is, you know, smiles and peaches and cream and flowers and butterflies and rainbows, and I want to live in that place. Out of 24 hours, if I can live there for 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds, 1 second of some bullshit is fine with me. I'll take it. But also, every day I want that time to go higher and higher and higher. Maybe one day it might be an hour. Next day it might be 1 hour and 30 minutes. Next day it might be 2 hours. Next day it might be 3 hours. Like, eventually when I get to that 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds, then yes, I'm going home to be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So this has been the third episode of What? Shankita's Place. Thank you for stopping by my place to hear my thoughts and my ideas and my suggestions. And I hope that something I said, or everything that I said, was able to impact you in a positive way, that you would take something from the inspirational moment and the loving moment and bring some inspiration and some love into your life. Until next time, thank you for stopping by Shankita's Place.